preaching on this subject, dreaming can be the pits. Dreaming can be the pits. Verse 18. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. They said one to another, behold, and look what manner of speaking they use. Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit. And we will say, some evil beast hath devoured him. And we shall see what will become of his dreams. And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father again. And it came to pass, when Joseph was coming to his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. They took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty, and there was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brethren were content. And we'll stop there with the reading tonight. Dreaming can be the pits. We know that Joseph here is, we can find at the beginning of this chapter, is the favorite son of Jacob, the son of the wife that he loved, Rachel. And the Bible says in verse 3 that he loved Joseph more than all of his children because he was the son of his old age. And look what he did to separate him from everybody else. He made him a coat of many colors. This coat basically told the other brethren that he was to assume leadership. And you'll find out later that Joseph even prophesied in a dream that not only his brethren would bow down to him one day, but his parents would as well. Now, let's just bring it down to our level. If you had a brother like that, would you like him too? I mean, if you had a little kid brother that said, one of these days you're going to bow down to me, you probably wouldn't like it. Now, it started off with envy. They were jealous of him. But you'll notice it turned into something a little bit more serious than that. And this shows us, this pit experience that Joseph went through teaches us a few things. It teaches us one thing, and this is it, that we can look at things very wrong. The things that we go through in life, the pit experiences that we face in our lives every day, each month, each week. Maybe some of you have been through a pit experience or you're going through a pit experience right now. But so many times we can look at our experiences so wrong that we forget God may be orchestrating the whole thing. I want to notice some things about this pit. First of all, it was prescribed by God. It was prescribed by God. See, they were so angry. See, the envy turned into animosity. The animosity turned into fixed hatred. Then the fixed hatred turned into a scheme to commit murder. And you'll find that they started off hating him. But then you'll notice the language changed. I read to you, they did not hate him any longer. They hated his dreams. They didn't refer him by his name when they saw him afar off. They said, look, behold, the dreamer cometh. Let's kill him so we can get rid of his dreams. You'll find out that there'll be people that you're trying to serve the Lord. You have visions and you have dreams, and that they don't even know why they're hating you. But really, the fact of the matter is they don't hate you. They hate your dream. They hate your vision. And I can understand, and it seems like the animosity and the hatred and jealousy so much is amongst churches and amongst Christian people. And I, for the life of me, I cannot understand that. Probably this church, and I'm sure even right now that there are churches that probably despise Rubyville. They hate Rubyville. They are jealous of Rubyville. Not because we are better than them, but because we have a dream. And our dream is to build a new sanctuary Fill that sanctuary up. Build another sanctuary. Fill that sanctuary up. Do you believe that that can happen? Yeah, I have a dream and I have a vision. And so many times people look at us and hate us and despise us, not because we're Reubenville, but they hate our dream. I was talking to my Uncle Danny. The Bear family came in this weekend for Christmas Day, as we do every year. And I was talking to my Uncle Danny. My Uncle Danny is on the board of directors he's the dean of the academic dean at Southeastern Free Will Baptist Bible College. My father was raised Free Will Baptist. Danny's been in the Free Will Baptist his entire life. Of course, that's Calvin raised, ordained in the Free Will Baptist. His dad was a part of the Free Will Baptist. And I'm sure that Calvin Ray's dad, Calvin Evans, was probably hated and despised by many people, probably even in his own denomination, because of his dream and because of his vision. And we were talking just about this dream and about this vision that Calvin had passed on now to his son and on to me to try to carry that vision and that dream on. And he said, you know, there are evangelists that are out there that are just now referred to as beggars. And he said, I'll tell you one thing that Calvin was never accused of, and that was being a beggar. Why? Because he had a dream. And you'll find that people will hate you and despise you. Don't look down on them too much. They're maybe not even mad at you, but they're mad at the dream that you have. And as Martin Luther King said, and I'll say the same thing tonight, I do have a dream. And I have a dream that everybody in here will be saved before this night is out. And I have a dream that this church will be filled. I have a dream that this community will be saved. Don't get mad at me, because I have a dream. Our dreams can turn into reality when they're prescribed by God. And Joseph was put on there, put in that pit on purpose. They despised his plan. They despised his dream. And so they come up with the plan to kill him and to put him in this pit. But God had an alternative. And that was why this pit was prescribed by God, because they threw him in there on purpose and for a reason. And that's why we look at things through the wrong glasses. Sometimes we need to look at them through spiritual glasses, the things and the circumstances that we go through. Maybe God has prescribed a pit just for you to get you to where you need to go. Maybe he's allowing certain things to happen for certain other things to happen to maybe embark on you a great blessing that you would have never had before if you hadn't had the pit. Our pastor about 6 years ago was in the hospital for blood clots. I mean, if you remember that, it was a very time where we was a lot of prayer and we was praying for him, and they found a massive blood clot in his leg and he had put it off for a while and was in the hospital for 2 or 3 days and while they were in there though and we was all praying for the blood clots that God would heal him as we well should, and we visited him and prayed for him, but while they were in there they ran tests and found that he had type 2 diabetes. If he would have never had the blood clots, he would have never been in the hospital. They would never run the blood test to find out that he had diabetes. There's a reason. See, the pit, the blood clot looked so bad, but what was on the surface was God has something greater in store to show. Hey, there's something underlying here that you need to find out. He had to have the blood clots to find out he had diabetes. Sometimes the things we go through are only to reveal things that really need taking care of. That hospital stay was prescribed by God. And this pit was prescribed by God. But notice, secondly, the purpose of the pit. The purpose of the pit was it was an alternative to death and destruction. God had a purpose for Joseph, and the pit played a vital part in that. God always has a purpose when we go through the trials. God can get us through that, but He always has a purpose. And the purpose, number one, is always to get us closer to Him. Always to propel us forward, never looking back. And always, there's a greater purpose when we go through the trials, greater lessons that we can learn. Think of it. I just wrote down a few things of Joseph's life. If he would have never been in the pit, he would have never met the merchantmen, the Ishmaelites. He would have never been sold to the Ishmaelites. If he would have never been sold to the Ishmaelites, he would have never been sold to Potiphar. If he would have never been sold to Potiphar, he would have never been put over Potiphar's command. He would have never been put over Potiphar's house. If he would have never been put over Potiphar's house, he would have never been tempted by Potiphar's wife.
If he would never been tempted, then he would never been put into prison falsely accused. If he would never been put into prison falsely accused, then he wouldn't have been able to be called up by the butler to interpret the dreams of Pharaoh. If he would have never been able to interpret the dreams of Pharaoh, then he would have never been able to be put in second in command right underneath Pharaoh. If he would have never been second in command under Pharaoh, then when the famine came, he would have never, nobody would have been sent to Joseph because he wouldn't have been in second in command. But because of the famine, every single person in that country had to go to Joseph to get food.
If he would have never been set under Pharaoh, second in command, his family would have never had to come back to him to get food. In fact, because he went through the pit experience, he was able later in life to save his own family. If he'd never been able to save his family, he would have never been reunited with his father. But it all started when he was thrown into the pit.
God will allow certain things, and see, a lot of times we want things to happen right now. We want the church with the 500 people. We want the great salary. We want all this without. We want to leave point A and go to point B without having to go through anything. But I've been preaching now. I'm going on my 16th year, 15th year of preaching, and I started out never thinking that I would ever make it to Rubyville. If I would have never met my wife, if I would have never met Heather, I would have went to Columbus, Ohio and went to High State University. Now, I know that's not a bad thing. I mean, come on. But it would have been a bad thing for me because that's not what God wanted me to do. But when I met Heather, things changed. I started taking a look at my priorities. God called me to preach right after that. I said, well, I'll just stay down here at Shawnee. That way I can stay close to Heather. Nothing wrong with that, is there? Shake your head. You all know you like that too. But I started out in art and majored in art for 2 years. And then God switched me and said, no, I want you to go into computer mechanical engineering. So I went into computer drafting and got that degree and spent 4 years and got a 2-year degree. I don't know how that happens, but that just happens. If I would have never gotten that degree in computer drafting, I would have never been able to get the job at Fifth Third in Cincinnati working in their architectural department. If I would have never been in their architectural department at Fifth Third in Cincinnati, I would have never been able to be transferred to Hillsboro to be property manager. If I would have never been able to transfer to Hillsboro, I would have never been able to get a job working at McCarty Associate in Hillsboro with a Christian company. I would have never been able to meet Mike Blanton in evidence during that time. I would have never been able to work at South Shore, at Joy FM, if I've never met Mike Blanton in evidence. I would have never got the pay cut that I needed to go through, that I needed to pray every day for food on my table. I would have never, if I hadn't been at Joy FM, I would have never met Calvin Ray Evans. I knew him, but I would have never been offered a job unless I'd been at Joy FM. That was 8 years ago. 8 years ago, 2001, I started work with Evangelistic Outreach. If I've never worked with Evangelistic Outreach, I would have never met the people from Rubyville. And because I met you, now I'm here today. But it all started years ago. See, we've got to go through some pit experiences sometimes to get us where God wants us, but there's always a purpose. Harry Truman talked about having a purpose in our lives. During his era, they had a toy that was called a flugie bird. And this bird had written on it, "I fly backwards. I don't care where I'm going. I just want to see where I've been." That's the way most Christians spend their life. They don't care about where they're going. They just want to see where they've been. God will never, ever propel you to look back. God always has a purpose for you to go forward and get closer to Him. The pit was prescribed by God. It had a purpose. But notice thirdly, it was powerless. The pit was powerless. Why would you say that, Brian? Well, look. In verse 23, and it came to pass when Joseph was coming to his brethren that they stripped Joseph out of his coat, his coat of many colors that was on him, and they took him and cast him into a pit. And look at what it says. And the pit was empty. There was no water in it. There's a reason why that's in there, because the pits at those times were actually wells that the camels would go and drink from to get nourishment. So really, when they wanted to throw him in some pit, they wanted to drown him and get rid of him. But because they threw him in a pit that was empty, there was no water. Don't you know you can't drown when it's dry? And God made them throw him in the right pit. Even though it was a pit, it was powerless. Because God said, I want you there, in that pit. He picked out that pit specifically for Joseph. And you can't drown when it's dry. See, sometimes we go through things and we think, I can't get my head above water. I'm up to my neck with problems. Well, if you're up to your neck, you're still breathing, aren't you? You haven't drowned yet. Sometimes when you're going through things, it's not as bad as it could be. Listen, if God prescribes a pit for you, there is a purpose. And know this, the pit is powerless to the power of God in your life. If God directs you, there's no giant that can crush you. There's no lion that can tame you. There's no Red Sea that can drown you. There's no Pharaoh that can run over you. There's no fire that can burn you. There's no army that can destroy you. There's no wall that can stop you. There's no mountain that can tire you. There's no temptation that can overcome you. There's no Herod that can find you. There's no cross that can kill you. There's no grave that can hold you. In fact, Isaiah said it best in chapter 50. Before verse 17, no weapon that is formed against you shall be able to prosper. Aren't you thankful when God says you're going in a pit? The pit is powerless when it comes to God. If God puts you there, He will take care of you. Hallelujah. Go ahead and let the devil form the weapon. He can form it, but it won't prosper. No weapon formed against you shall be able to prosper. It is powerless to God, for God is all powerful. There's a reason why you're in the situation you're going through. There's a reason for the pit. God is wanting you to draw closer to Him. And listen, 2010 is coming right around the corner. Determine with all of our heart, determine in our heart right now that 2010 is going to be better than 2009. We've seen miracle after miracle. We can stand up here for hours thanking God. Many of you have went through the pit experiences in 2009, and some of you cannot wait for 2010 to come around. But never forget where God has brought you from. And always remember, another year closer, another day closer, is another day and another year where we can go and see Jesus Christ. He's coming back. And it don't matter what pit you're in when He comes back. Thank God. No grave, no pit is going to hold us down. The grave has no power when it comes to Jesus Christ. What are you going through tonight? Are you in a pit? You feel like there's no way out? Ask yourself, has God put me here for a reason? Is there a purpose? Why am I here? Are you in the pit because you jumped in it yourself? Or are you in a pit because God said you need to be there? If you're in it yourself, you can ask God to help you out of it. But God will not do for you what you can do for yourself. When they rolled the stone over Lazarus' tomb, He came to the tomb and said, roll the stone away. He said, you put the stone there, you move it out of the way. And when you put a stone in front of your miracle, God sometimes will not move the stone for you until you can do for yourself what you need to do. Some of you have put stones over the tomb of your miracle. Your own pride, whatever it may be that's keeping you from getting victory. It's time to move the stone away. And let God speak to your heart. And let new life resurrect in you. Some of you today, you're in the clutches of sin. You're in the grave of sin. And you've put the stone of pride over your heart. The stone of sin is over your heart. Listen, Jesus can still roll stones away. He can still speak to your heart. And He can resurrect you to new life. And you can leave here with victory in your heart. Victory in your soul. Whatever you're going through tonight, you don't have to stay in the pit. Dreaming can be the pit. Sometimes that's exactly where God wants you.